Please take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3 this evening. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 3. Second Corinthians 6:1 states, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." Tonight I'd like to look at five essential truths that every believer must understand and grab a hold of if you are going to be an effective minister of the gospel. In the first verse, we find a great truth, and that is that the first truth we must understand is the great partnership that we are in this ministry that we have been called to. Verse 21 of the previous chapter says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It says, "We then, as workers together with him." We must understand this great partnership that we are in. In verse 19, it says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself." Then what does he say at the end of the verse? He says, "And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." In the ministry of the gospel, giving forth the gospel, we must understand that we are in a great partnership. We are workers together with him. We are ambassadors for Christ. This word is used over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where it says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Here it's used in the ministry that we have. We must cooperate with God in this endeavor that he has given for us to do. You know, imagine if you're going to start up a company with somebody. Okay, I have this book at home that is called, I can't remember the author of the book, and I've only read a little bit of it, but the title of the book is "God Owns My Business." You know, imagine if you were starting up a business and your partner in that business was God. You know, in this instance, I'm not sure how the guy had it all set up, but in this business, God was the owner of his business and he had things set up a certain way, and you know, the Lord, I think, really blessed this company that this man began. But we need to understand that we have a great partnership. You know, in Matthew 28, verse 20, what does the Lord say? "Lo, I am with you always." Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, we are not at this endeavor alone. This is not, you know, our ministry. This is God's ministry. And yet it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 how he has chosen us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, you know, in weak human vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And we have a great partnership that we are in. You know, we have the partner that we have, so to speak, in this ministry is one that provides us with all power. He gives us all authority. Everything that we have, everything that we need is found in him. But you know, false doctrine many times arises out of our own sinful flesh. You know, sometimes false doctrine arises out of our flesh, sometimes in the form of laziness. You know, and it says, we then as workers together with Him. You know, some people might like to say, well, since God has chosen all those that are going to be saved, you know, I don't have to do anything to spread the gospel. Well, to me, that kind of thinking really is rooted in laziness. You know, I don't want to have to get out there. I don't want to have to do anything to see people saved. So people come up with a spiritual excuse, you know, why they don't have to do it. Well, no, we are in partnership with the Lord. And He has called us to this ministry of spreading the gospel. And tonight we need to understand this partnership that we have in, that we are in. God has called us to give out this message. But we don't have to do it alone. He sent us forth. You know, faithful, as I mentioned in the message 2 weeks ago, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. And tonight, if we're going to be an effective minister of the gospel, we must understand this partnership that we are in. God has chosen us as His partners. And we must get to work and accomplish what He has called us to do. So we must understand this great partnership. But the second truth I'd like to look at is this great plea that we have been given. Notice what He says. He says, we then, as workers together with Him, He says, beseech you also. So speaking to the Corinthian believers here, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. You know, the grace of God has been given in your life. And you make sure that it, what's the purpose of that grace? Well, to change and transform your life. To do something in your life that you are incapable of accomplishing yourself. And we have been given a great salvation. We need to make sure that that is not received in an empty fashion, in a fashion that does not change or transform our lives. In the book of this book, I think it mentions a couple things that would be along this line. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it mentions a false message that could be believed that would render the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. He says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So here he says, I fear lest by any means that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, the devil is out there with a false message. You know, God has granted us a great salvation. He has given us His grace. And He gives them a warning, an earnest plea here, that He would not, what? That ye receive not the grace of God in vain. May that grace transform your lives, but may you recognize tonight that there are false messages out there. There are false messengers out there that are seeking to corrupt, to spoil that which has come into your lives. And they are going to come from unsuspecting sources. He says in later on in chapter 11, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And we need to be careful. We need to be on guard. We need to be vigilant. Why? Because Satan is transforming himself. His ministers are transforming themselves as ministers of light. You know, Satan's not out there, you know, with a big sign, so to speak, all the time saying who he is. You know, I am trying to ruin your life. Follow me. You know, come, partake of something miserable. Partake of something that is going to ruin your life and bring you to destruction. It's going to tear apart your family. Well, no, that's not how he's going to present himself. It's always going to be presented in a way that's going to deceive people into doing something that they think is going to bring them something that is going to bring joy into their lives, when in actuality it's going to bring destruction. So there is a false message out there. And the Apostle Paul says, I fear. I fear for you. You know, tonight, do you recognize that false message that is there, that those false messengers that are out there? Are you on guard? He says, I beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. There's a false message, but there's also a false lifestyle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, he says, for I fear, lest when I come, I should not find you such as I would, and that I should be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. You know, is the grace of God taking effect in your life, transforming your life into the image of Christ? You know, if we are truly saved tonight, that grace of God is going to change our lives. Later on in the chapter 6 and in the chapter 7, it talks about the sin that ought to be separated from our lives. You know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God what? God forbid. You know, what does the grace of God do? It teaches us that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So there is a great plea that we have been given here, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. You know, there is a message that we are to give out, the message of God's grace. And as we give that message to people, we need to make sure that they do not receive it in vain, but that there is a sincere reception of that message that we are giving to them. You know, is there that urgency in the giving out of the message, realizing what the grace of God can do for an individual's life? Do we understand this great plea, I beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain? Here's a warning given. What's happening in your life tonight? Verse number 2 brings us into really the great pardon that we have been granted. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee, or have I helped thee, have I assisted thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We have been granted a great salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, tonight, do we understand this great pardon that we have been granted? That he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And here he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 8 in the Old Testament, and applying it here, reminding them of this salvation, that they would not receive the grace of God in vain. But it also leads us into this, the great priority that has been placed on accepting the gospel. There is a day of salvation. He says, now is the accepted time. The idea of accepted is a favorable time. The right timing. You know, when you're going to plant something, maybe you're going to plant, you know, sweet corn. Well, there's different types of sweet corn. But one thing about sweet corn is it can tend to be sensitive to cold soil, the wrong conditions, and you can plant, you know, you could spend a lot of money on a lot of seed, and you could plant a big field of sweet corn. You know, but if you don't have the right conditions, guess what's going to happen? That seed might just rot in the ground, and you might get maggots in that seed that are going to eat that seed up, and all that money is going to be out the window because you planted it at, you know, the wrong time. Or you didn't put the right stuff on the seed to help prevent those things from happening. You know, there's a timing. You know, you don't go out in the middle of January and try to plant something. It's just not going to work too well. All right, there's a timing here that is involved. All right, and here we find this great priority that has been placed on accepting the gospel. Now is the time. The Messiah has come. This is the age of grace. And people need to understand that this is the time to be saved. This is the age. This, you know, we can't sit here and think about, boy, think if I would have lived, you know, at whatever time period. Hey, we live in the time that God has chosen for the gospel to be spread, and now is the accepted time. You know, this is the age, but in this age we can see seasons, so to speak, in individual lives. They can see times. When favorable times, when God is working in a person's life, seeking for them to accept the gospel. In John chapter 3, it talks about how the wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. You know, when that time is in your life, you know, when the gospel is being presented, there needs to be what? An acceptance. You know, and from an unsaved person's perspective, you know, that person needs to accept the gospel while they have that opportunity, because they may not have another opportunity to accept it. You know, as believers, we need to realize that. At the same time, we need to understand that now is the time. We don't need to wait for another time. You know, I'm going to wait 20 years, because I think in 20 years people will be more ready to receive the salvation. Well, I think the you know, we think of day as in, like, you know, maybe this day or that day. I think we can think of, we are in this day of grace. And it needs to be urged upon people that, hey, now is the time to accept salvation. And that needs to be urged upon individuals. We need to understand the great priority that has been placed on accepting the gospel. So accepting the favorable time. And then this word we find here, I have secured thee. All right, there, this is referring to God's assistance or help. You know, we need to take advantage of the help when it is there. God's help is there. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time that God is assisting in salvation. And we need to take advantage of it. Lost souls need to take advantage of it. And you think of when somebody, you know, if we were in need, maybe we were going to add on to the church. All right, we're going to add on to the church, and we had all the plans in place. Everything was ready. You know, everything had been approved by Village of Maquonago, by the state, and everything's taken care of. And maybe an excavator company, maybe it's Pet Construction, you know, and they come and, you know, maybe Mr. Pet calls my dad and he says, all right, you know, I have this week, I don't have much work, and I just felt led to call you and to say, you know, I'd like to donate the next week of my time to start on, you know, to dig the hole and get all the excavating done for your project. And I've got all my work crew, all my trucks, all my equipment, and I'd like to give it to you for a whole week here to use. I mean, we'll be there. We'll do it all. What if our building project, we had voted and said, we're going to start this project, maybe it was 1 week and 2 days later. Well, what do you think we would do? Well, hopefully we would understand that now is the time to what? To get started. And where we have to make a few phone calls or whatever we have to do, maybe we ought to call a church meeting and say, hey, can we move this up a week? All right, because what? Now is the time. You know, Camp Joy, they get, maybe opportunities where somebody says, hey, you can use this or they're going to what? Take advantage of that opportunity. And the Bible is saying, hey, now is the time. In the day of salvation, I have helped thee, I've secured thee, I've assisted thee. Don't wait for another time. The help is there. Take advantage of it. Use it. We think of the fact that, from in speaking to somebody, they need to understand this point, but we as believers need to understand this as well. Let's not wait around. God's there. His help is there. Now is the time for lost souls to be saved and to come to the gospel. And we need to understand the truth that this great priority that has been placed on accepting the gospel. Now is the time. It can be so easy on soul winning to be maybe, apologetic with people. Maybe something's happening. And obviously we need to be cordial with people, but at the same time, it's easy to be, apologetic. Maybe somebody, is on the phone and we need to be careful in how we handle those situations. Or, we faced a situation, it was 2 weeks ago, and there was a man we were talking to, and he was, he had a pizza in the oven. And, pizza is in the oven. Obviously, the guy doesn't want his pizza to burn. And, thank the Lord, he didn't just, he said, I got a pizza in the oven, I got to go check on it. But, the temptation might be, okay, let's just say, okay, well, just read this tract and go on. Thankfully, the man came back and continued talking with us, checked on his pizza, took it out of the oven, and came back and kept talking. We need to recognize, the urgency of what's going on. I know many times in my own life, been door-to-door soul winning, and it's easy just to say, just kind of pass on. Instead of recognizing, we don't know. We need to recognize the priority that's been placed on accepting the gospel. Yes, we need to realize that it's a work of God needs to be done in the individual. We're not talking about just, leading somebody in a false profession. But there is an urgency. We heard the testimony tonight. How many of us would have thought, that was going to happen, with Mr. Kuznarch? We don't know. And we need to understand this priority. But the fact, the good news is that what? God's help is on our side. We are in partnership with Him. His grace is behind us. And He's the one that said, now is the accepted time. The debt has been paid. Now is the time for people to accept Christ and the sacrifice that has been given. May we see the urgency of now. But notice the next verse where it says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. And here I see the great protection that must be given to the gospel. It's something that must be guarded carefully. We must guard the testimony of the gospel, our personal testimonies. And it says, giving no offense in anything, giving no occasion for someone to take offense. We must be very careful that we do not do anything that would cause somebody to reject the gospel. It could be maybe getting way behind, on our, maybe we're not being careful with our money. And, there may be a time where somebody you know, gets behind because of certain things. But if we're not careful in our finances, and, you know, maybe there's a local business in town, you know, and we've racked up bills at this local business, you know, and we're not willing to go up to them and talk to them and say, maybe just humble ourselves before that businessman and say, you know what, I've got a problem here. I'm planning on paying, you know, working something out, but just kind of shoving it under the rug, you know, get behind, and, you know, maybe they're trying to call you and say, hey, can we work something out, and you're not going to deal with it. And then a month later, you walk in that business, you still got this big bill that you've never dealt with, and you haven't shown much concern in dealing with it, and you say, hey, I'd like to give you a Bible tract. How do you think that's going to be accepted? Well, I would say that that would be giving offense. Giving somebody an excuse, a reason why they don't need to listen to the gospel. You know, there are enough reasons that people, that the devil's already going to give to people to not receive the gospel. And we need to be careful that we don't give them any more reasons why not to believe the gospel. There needs to be a carefulness. We need to understand the protection, the value that we must place upon our testimony so that we can give out the gospel. What about your testimony at your workplace? You know, is it one in which you can freely give out the gospel because you have guarded your testimony, the words that you've said, the decisions that you've made, your deportment at work? You know, young people, what about the way that you do your schoolwork? You know, would it give a good testimony for the sake of the gospel? What if your aunt or uncle said, hey, you know, could I see your report card? You know, and they see, you know, however many demerits. Or they see under, you know, how, you know, these different categories. You know, how much opportunity now do you think are you going to have to witness to that individual? Now, how about when you're at your grandma's house, young person? How do you act? Do you give offense, or are you guarding your opportunity? You are guarding your testimony so that you can have every opportunity to give the gospel. You know, we need to be so careful. In this morning in Sunday school, we're looking at 1 Timothy 3 and the qualifications of a bishop. Verse number 7, it says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. You know, what's the devil trying to do? He's trying to snare people. He wants us to offer reproaches for other people so they don't have to accept salvation, so to speak. Now, obviously, they're still going to be responsible for the actions that they've done. But the devil would like to do whatever he can do to ruin our testimony, to ruin our lives, so the gospel cannot go forth with God's power. And this evening, this essential truth we must understand is the great protection that must be given to the gospel. Our testimonies must be carefully guarded, that the ministry be not blamed. You know, you may not be a deacon at Mequonago Baptist Church. You know, you may not be one of the pastors. You may not be a Sunday school teacher. You know, maybe teenager, you're getting a job somewhere this summer. Or maybe it's not a teenager. You know, you better watch out for your testimony, because guess what? They know that you come to this church and your life is what? Your life is a representation of this ministry, and more importantly, your life is a representation of the ministry of the gospel. And you better carefully guard it in everything that you do. Don't just say, well, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, so I can kind of, you know, get by with a little bit more stuff. Well, it doesn't sound like you have a great protection around the gospel. Carefully guarding your testimony, that there would be no offense given for anyone against the gospel in your life. You know, do you have that attitude in your life? carefully guarding your actions so that no one would have some type of offense that they could offer in giving out the gospel. You know, people are going to come up with things. We're not saying, people are already going to come up with enough things. They're already going to try to accuse you of enough things without us adding to the load. And the Word of God gives warning, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. And then he provides a whole list of things, which we'll look at later. But in all things, he says, approving ourselves as the minister of God. And you know, there's going to be many things that you're going to go through. It might be at work. It might be a person at work that's just trying to get under your nerves. You know, trying to get you to fly off the handle. And then what are they going to have? Well, they're going to have something to what? Hold against you. You better be careful. Giving no offense in anything. I mean, the Apostle Paul went through stripes. He went through imprisonments. He went through labors, watching, fasting, tumults. All these different things. And that is why we need God's power. We need God's grace. We need the Spirit of God producing His fruit in our lives so that when these testings come, you know, we don't give in to them. And it can be so easy. Because, you know, there are people out there that are going to know how to get under your nerves, so to speak. And are going to know how to maybe turn you on. You know, that's when we need God's help. Because, folks, there is a greater cause that we are a part of. And we cannot let the issues of this life prevent us from the effectiveness that God wants us to have in this ministry of the gospel, because we couldn't handle a situation that arose because somebody was getting on our nerves, giving no offense. You know, is there that protection in your life surrounding the gospel? Is there a barrier, so to speak, that you have erected in your life? Because, you know, if there's not that barrier, you know, there's some things in life that we what? Well, there's some things in life sometimes that we say, you know what? With God's help, by His grace, I'm not going to do that. You know, but sometimes we let the guard down in certain areas. Well, we should never let the guard down, but especially in this area of giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Do you understand that great protection tonight that must be in place in your life? That the ministry of the gospel would not be blamed? You know, is there that priority that has been placed in your life in urging people in accepting the gospel? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, do you understand the urgency of the timing? And the Spirit of God is moving in your life. Don't say no. Because you never know when that time's going to come. You know, one commentary I was reading would talk about, you know, times of revival. You know, an accepted time. I mean, we're living in that age of the gospel message. Of the day of grace. Accept it. Do we recognize that great pardon that we have been granted? The great plea that you receive not the grace of God in vain? And do we understand the great partnership that we are in tonight with the God of heaven? You know, we might be like the prophet who felt like he was the only one. You know, we might be somebody like John Patton, you know, on that island alone. But you know what? We're not alone. We are in partnership with the God of heaven. And you know what? He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we need to understand this great partnership that we are in this evening so that we can be an effective minister of the gospel. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would work in our lives in this area. Lord, how easy it is. Lord, to lose sight of the importance that you have placed on the message of salvation. And Lord, we know that the devil wants to get us off track. He wants to do things in our lives to make us ineffective. Lord, to lose our testimony. Lord, to lose the sense of the urgency. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts this evening for us to recognize, Lord, where we have fallen short. And Lord, that you would raise us up this evening to be what you would have us to be in this area of our lives. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, the first question tonight is,